I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We love family business stories on this program. It is the business of family business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and joining us this weekend is Josh Allen from Companion Baking. Also, Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, who presents this program, the business of family business. Josh Allen, I wanted to get an idea of what you make at your bakery. What are the types of foods you guys make?
Well, the majority of what we do is bread. So yeah. We are a wholesale bread manufacturer, and for the most part, it is free-form hearth breads, a lot of baguettes, dinner rolls, sandwich breads, sandwich buns. We do a little bit of pastry, and then we also operate 2 small cafes in St. Louis that do soups and sandwiches and a little bit of breakfast items as well.
My wife goes there. We live pretty close in that area. And she has other moms that like to meet up there. It's like a little thing for them to take the kids to. They love it.
Well, please tell her thank you.
Yeah. So the breads, that's a pretty big business. Do you make bread for other like halls and companies in town?
Yeah. I mean, so we're transitioning actually mainly to a frozen manufacturer as we continue to evolve. So the bakery's 27 years old this year. We started out primarily, you know, exclusively fresh delivery to the St. Louis area in wholesale food service, what we would call food service, restaurants, hotels, country clubs, hospitals. As we grew the business, we started selling into some grocery stores under the Companion brand. And then as we've even evolved further, we started selling frozen regionally and nationally outside of St. Louis. And really, our business is growing primarily now in custom manufacturing. So if Ryan's Deli had 40 locations somewhere and needed something special, we would be the one that you would come to produce a special hoagie or some kind of special sliced sandwich bread, something unique and custom that you wanted to be able to share with your customers that would give you a point of difference in the market.
So where is Companion Baking located?
So the main factory is in Maryland Heights, along with one of our cafes, which is inside of the factory. Mm-hmm. And then we have a small retail location in Ladue at Clayton and Warson.
Yeah. So how big, when you say factory, how big is the location?
It's about 40,000 square feet.
Yeah. That's a lot of equipment in there, too.
Yeah, a fair bit of equipment. I mean, nationally, we're super small. Locally, we're pretty good size, I guess, is sort of how we look at it.
So do you have the ovens and everything else in there? You bake everything there, too?
Yeah, everything. I mean, we operate in that facility 24/7, do all the mixing, shaping, and baking there, and freezing and shipping all out of that.
24/7. You guys never stop.
No, I don't have a key, actually.
So it's like you don't have to show up at 1 a.m. It's like it's always going.
Right.
Just nonstop. That's what the demand is then. I mean, is that just to meet demand?
Partially it's demand, and partially it's the kinds of breads we make are longer fermented breads. And so it just takes longer to make a loaf of bread. Uh-huh. So it's kind of anywhere from a 4 to 12-hour process from mixer to oven. And in addition to that, there's pre-ferments and starters and sponges that happen in advance of that. So a lot of what we're doing today is for tomorrow's bread or for a couple of days out. So we're really kind of orchestrating that symphony of making sure that we can get all this product through our system and primarily making sure we got enough oven space to handle it all at the same time.
Baker's hours. Do you... You don't keep the doors open 24/7 for customers, though, do you?
No, the cafe's just open 7 to 3, but we're going all the time.
I gotcha. Working around the clock. Yeah, I had a friend who grew up with a family bakery, an Italian bakery in the Detroit area. Man, they had all kinds of different machines. They had all the machines that would make the little dough balls for the dinner rolls, and they're always trying to meet orders, always trying to do this and do that. They didn't work 24/7, but they always had to get there early, like at 1 a.m., 2 a.m., that's almost like the life of a baker, it seems like. So you got to work some early hours.
Yeah, absolutely. And in the wholesale business, it's pushed back a little bit because, you know, our trucks have to be out the door for fresh local delivery. Our trucks have to be out the door between 2 and 3 in the morning. So it's more restaurant shift probably in terms of the majority of folks, you know, working from 4 p.m. to midnight or 6 p.m. to 2 in the morning than it is the overnight. But we definitely have folks working overnight and kind of keeping that process going.
It probably smells great there.
You know, when you work there, you can't smell it, though. That's
no?
The problem.
No. Well, do you go home and they, oh, I can smell the bakery on you. Do people smell it
on
you?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And people that come in are kind of blown away by it.
Oh,
and I'm
man.
Like, I'm not sure
you just
what
lost
you're
it.
About. I lost it.
Yeah, you know, and part of it, too, is do you still eat the food that you make there? Because if you're in it every day, you're working it every day, you're getting, you know, hands-on every day. Some people, like, I can't do it every day. Are you someone
I mean,
that eats
we're trying
every day.
Something every day. So,
yeah.
You know, part of it
you're trying
is
new things.
Is, well, part of it is research and development, new products and that. And then also part of it's quality assurance and making sure what we're producing is right. So we're eating a little bit of it every day.
You have to.
Yeah. But everything in moderation, right? Including moderation.
Yeah, so. That'd be my favorite part.
that's such a tough job responsibility.
So companion baking. So you guys, you said you're located in Maryland Heights. And also, Ladue, you have another satellite location where you supply to. How many people come in during the course of a day?
In terms of the cafes?
The cafe, yeah.
You know, we probably do between 300 and 400 in transactions in each of the two locations. So
we
feed a lot of folks every day.
I think that's awesome. Where does it actually start? Because from what I understand, you were part of a family business, but this is almost like a branch off. It's something that you and your sister decided to do.
Yeah, well, my family had a broadline food distribution company for 100 years. So, well, actually not for 100 years. My great-grandfather came from Poland, made it as far as O'Fallon, Illinois, when he made it over. And he had a donkey and a cart and sold groceries door-to-door and general goods. Then he opened a kind of a small chain of general stores in the 20s and 30s. And then really in World War II, they kind of transitioned to the frozen food business, supplying the Air Force bases. And then in the early 1950s, they moved from O'Fallon over to St. Louis and kind of continued to evolve the business. And it went through, was into the fourth generation when they actually sold that company in 2002. But, you know, I sort of went to college with the intention of always going into that business and somehow fell in love with baking bread as kind of an offshoot. Mm-hmm. And with my family's support and candidly with a loan from them, I opened the business in 93. So we had kind of as an offshoot, obviously I had grown up making deliveries on the way to soccer games and baseball games and running into the freezer and working in there over the summer and all that. So I loved the business and loved being a part of it, enjoyed the food business. Didn't really want to wear a tie, didn't want to be a distributor, and loved the manufacturing piece, and had kind of fallen in love with bread baking in the Bay Area where I went to school and came back and opened the business. And then my sister, when the business sold in 2002, right before that in 2001 is when we went into the cafe business. So we had been around for about 8 years before we opened our first cafe in Clayton, and my sister joined to run that aspect of the business.
Wow.
She's a terrific retailer and great with customer service. And so it wasn't something that I was going to be particularly good at, but it was something that I felt like was the right next step for the business.
You can almost smell the bread now. More with Josh Allen from Companion Baking coming up next on this weekend's edition of The Business of Family Business, presented by CMA Consulting. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. And family businesses are like many other family businesses, but in other ways, it's more hands-on. See, as a bread reference, when generations are thinking about the next generation or what they're going to do with the family business, sometimes, like in this case you heard, a company could sell and a new one could branch off. But there are many decisions that are made. Are you prepared for that? And it's easier for you to prepare early, and it's easier for you to transition if you're under the guidance of someone that can help you prepare. And that's where CMA Consulting could help you. They lead a multidisciplinary team to help family businesses unify the next generation and develop them to be effective business owners. Reach out to CMA for a complimentary, no-obligation meeting to discuss your family business or maybe a generational transition. They are here to help. And it all starts with a phone call at 314-721-1860. Ask them, what can you do to help my family business? And you will be impressed with their answer. Their website, cmaconsult.com, or 314-721-1860. Welcome back to The Business of Family Business, presented by CMA Consulting, and Dan Bean from CMA joining us with Josh Allen, our guest from Companion Baking, describing some of the processes here. If you're enjoying this interview and you would like to hear more, go to KMOX.com in the podcast section. Look up The Business of Family Business. Do you get friends messaging you, hey, can you bring a loaf of bread or anything like that? Do they text you orders?
We get a little bit of that. A lot for the school, right? Like we're always taking care of the school.
So. Oh, that's awesome. Do you have any kids?
Yeah, we've got five kids.
So. Wow. What age range?
We have 7 through 22.
Wow. How about that? Do they bring food into school too? Do they? Because my one buddy in high school, he was always collecting orders. He was like, he's working 24/7. When there was something going on, he'd bring food for other people and sell it at school, which I don't think you're allowed to do, but he decided to do it anyway. That was the spirit he had because of the family business.
Yeah, I don't know that they're selling anything at school. I haven't heard much about that. Maybe they wouldn't tell me, but actually the girls have all, we have three older girls and the younger ones are boys, and the three girls have always worked in the cafes as they were going to school and were super helpful and kind of part of the business. Yeah. Mainly worked with my sister in retail, kind of enjoyed that, didn't really want to work with me or for me, but they've always been part of it, and they're big fans.
Yeah, Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, something that Josh mentioned, and you go back a few generations, selling by the cart. I love stories about selling by the cart. That seemed to be somewhat common, you know, 100-some years ago.
We've had so many stories on this show that started with a push cart or some kind of cart in downtown St. Louis. I guess this was over in O'Fallon is where the cart, but it's the same thing. It's a cart that goes around town, and it's basically a peddler that peddles his or her wares. And it's so neat to see these businesses start with such humble beginnings and grow to what they are today, 100-plus years later.
It's amazing. We've had the stories of selling glass, going around repairing, doing things with furniture. We've had all kinds of collecting scraps. We've had all kinds of different stories like that.
Many, many of them.
Yeah, love hearing that. Companion Baking and Josh Allen with us in studio. I was wondering, too, the early years when you started the business, were you fully prepared? Because, you know, you were in the family business atmosphere. You wanted to do the baking side of things. You decided to start your own business at that point. You had the backing and the support of your family doing that. Was it everything you thought it would be?
Oh, my God. I didn't have a clue. I don't know that I have a clue now. I mean, 27 years later, but I certainly didn't have any idea what I was getting into. And I don't know, you know, knowing now what I didn't know then, I don't know that I'd do it today. But I think that ignorance was sort of bliss as it related to it. I loved taking flour, water, and salt and making bread. And if I got to do that every day, it was cool. And then I just had to figure out how to find some customers for it.
Wow. Yeah, it's probably for the best. You have that passion and the will to do it, and you're going to make it work somehow. You have that spirit in you. And then knowing what you know now, you realize it's a lot harder than you anticipate. And I think a lot of people that get into a business or start a business realize that pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think as long as you have the passion for what you're doing, then it makes it a little bit easier. I mean, I don't feel like I go to work ever. And, you know, I get to make bread and sell bread. Yeah. And, you know, the whole idea with us and with Companion. So Companion, the Latin root of Companion is with bread. So a companion was a friend with whom you shared or a friend with whom you broke bread. So that's really what the spirit of the company is all about, is trying to get folks to gather at a table and break more bread together, as we like to say. And it's really, you know, it's pretty humble. Mm-hmm. It's pretty simple. But it does seem to be something that folks can really, that really resonates with folks. And they all have a story about bread from their past and a fond memory growing up about bread and sharing those stories with our customers. Well, whether it's a retail customer or it's a chef or a purchasing agent somewhere is really quite enjoyable. It isn't, you know, you walk in with a box of pastries or you walk in with fresh bread out of the oven and most people don't turn you away.
Were you married at the time you started Companion Bakery?
I was getting married.
Oh, so you were in the process of getting married.
Correct.
What did she think of you starting a business at that time?
I mean, she was supportive. She had moved back with me from California to do it, and we just kind of gave it a shot.
Yeah. When you started in those early years, you're starting a family, you know, you're starting a business, you're doing all these other things. How long before the kids started to come around? Did you have a few years there working on the, or did
I think
you,
it was sorry. About 3 years, 4 years.
Oh, okay.
I think as I think about it.
Yeah. Was your sister involved in the early years too?
Well, she was, I mean, she was still working for Allen Foods at the time. Yeah. So she was selling the groceries to me. So uh-huh. I bought all the flour from her and all the ingredients for everything. So yeah. she was the salesperson that was kind of taking care of us. So mm-hmm. she was involved and, but not day to day.
Yeah. So there was this several years that would overlap, about 10 years or so overlapped, where you still had the other side of the family business. Your family had the distribution side, and you were running Companion Baking at that time, too. When they decided to sell the family business on that side, too, did that impact you?
No. I mean, honestly, I had made the decision to kind of do my own thing mm-hmm. and, you know, with their blessing and with their support. And I was super supportive of them making the decision. My dad had worked 6 days a week for 46 years, I think, when he made the decision to sell the business. So they yeah. certainly, and there were three or four other folks of his generation that were part of the company. They mm-hmm. had all worked their tails off, and whatever they were going to get, whatever they were going to choose to do, they absolutely deserved. And mm-hmm. my family had a tremendous work ethic, and the time was just sort of right. There were some roll-ups taking place in food distribution. Mm-hmm. U.S. Foods was purchasing companies across the country, kind mm-hmm. of rolling up into this large conglomerate, and the timing just worked out really well for them, and that was the decision that they made.
Yeah. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. It's an interesting time when a family business decides to sell, especially one that's been around for so many different generations. I know. What is it like for that family when it comes to that time?
It's usually a very hard decision for a family to make to sell the business, especially if it's been around for multiple generations, 100 or more years. It's just a very difficult decision, but sometimes it's the absolutely right decision for that family to make. And if they do have to sell the business, the bigger the business is, the more they're going to benefit from having a professional advisor work with them. So it is a difficult decision, but sometimes it is the right decision for the family.
So when did your sister Jody join you at Companion Baking? Was it after the sale of the family business?
It was actually right before the sale. Oh. So they had sort of made the decision. They were going through the process. Mm-hmm. She was kind of made aware of it. And at the same time, we had found a location in Clayton that we wanted to open a small cafe in. So she joined us in early 2001, which was about a year before they sold the company.
Your relationship with your sister, was this great news for you? Do you thought, oh, this is a, I'll get to work with my sister and all of these? Or was this something where you thought like, oh, well, maybe this is just the right time, the right opportunity?
It's an interesting question. Yeah. I hadn't really thought about it that way. Yeah. I mean, what's wonderful about working with Jody is that I trust her implicitly. And mm-hmm. it's I have absolutely no concern yeah. about her work ethic, whether she's going to show up, whether things are going to be taken care of, whether customers are going to be taken care of. So when we made the decision to open a cafe, you know, we had always participated in chef's events and we had done farmers markets and we had a lot of kind of event driven retail experience, but obviously didn't have a location in which folks could come in every day. And, you know, it was quite an undertaking. And certainly the brand being 10 years old and having a pretty good reputation in the baking business, we didn't want to blow it. We didn't want to make any mistakes. So to know that she was going to come in and take the reins and that I could continue to focus on growing the wholesale business, but at the same time diversify and give ourselves a chance to do something else, I mean, it certainly made the decision much easier, and it was a big relief. And you know, my sister, we love each other, we have a great time with one another, but it's probably great that we don't work in the same location every day. and so we never really have. I mean, I obviously yeah. if they need some help, I'll go help them, but for the most part now, I'm managing the wholesale end of things and that part of the business, and she takes care of retail, and it's very symbiotic and it works out really well.
Oh, that's great. So the working relationship between you two, has it always been that way for the last 15, 16, 17 years now, somewhere along those lines? Has it always been that way, or have you guys changed roles over the years?
Oh, no, it's always been that way. So yeah. she came in to run the retail, and she gets great pleasure out of working with customers and helping folks, and I don't mind hiding in the back. And so it really works out really well. And I don't think there's any sense at all or any feeling at all that we should switch roles.
Yeah.
And we've had multiple cafes over the years. The location in Clayton actually has since closed. We had one in the West End for a short period of time. Mm-hmm. We just have the two cafes now. She's always kind of overseen the menu development and kind of the whole thing. And sometimes I've stepped into individual locations to manage those or spend more time. But it's been what it's been, and it's been terrific. And I don't know that we've ever had an argument in, mm-hmm. in 17 years. And we're both pretty easygoing as it relates to the management of the business. And we both get super disappointed if a customer's frustrated, and we try not to read online reviews, and you know, we try not to get ourselves too worked up about stuff, but at the same time, we take it seriously, and we do our best to take care of our customers.
Don't go anywhere. The Business of Family Business continues next with our story of companion baking, and Josh Allen, along with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, talk more about their business, the industry. It's all next on KMOX. We tell family business stories weekends on KMOX. I'm glad you're joining us now. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. This is the Business of Family Business presented by CMA Consulting and Dan Bean from CMA in this weekend with Josh Allen from Companion Baking. If you know a great family business story to share here, make sure you tell other people about it. Make sure you let us know about that family business. Just reach out to Dan Bean, the website, cmaconsult.com. Do you find yourself experimenting a lot when it comes to the things that you're making?
Yeah, I mean, we do as an organization. We have someone we have an innovation leader, Josh Galliano, who's been in the food service business for a long time. He runs our innovation lab. And so he does most of that individual work on a daily basis. He does a terrific job. I enjoy working with him, and I certainly play a role in it. But again, we've got to be super nimble and super flexible. I think the easiest way to sort of describe where we sit in the industry is we ship 5,000 or 6,000 cases of bread a week, and our competition is shipping about 200,000 cases of bread a week. So it's really speed to market and nimbleness and willingness to try things and do things and being super responsive. And so we've built the organization in order to do that. And certainly if one person or myself was trying to manage all these different things, we couldn't succeed in that kind of speed and flexibility that we need to have in order to be successful. So we've really focused on that as a big piece of who and what we are.
So when you say shipping, do you do local deliveries, or are you mostly what does it look like? Who are you shipping to?
Well, we do both. So we still sell to grocery stores and food service establishments throughout St. Louis. We probably make 140 to 180 deliveries fresh every day. Mm-hmm. And then in addition to that, we're selling through the frozen product through distribution. So handful of local broadline food service distributors, and then some regional and some national. We form the relationship with the customer on the backside. So as I mentioned, Ryan's Deli may be out of Omaha and be working with a specific distributor. So we'll work with that distributor to take care of what your needs are, and also local. And we sort of want to formulate the relationship with the customer. The distributors aren't particularly interested in supporting somebody small like us, but they're interested in supporting their customers. And if we can get that pull through from the customer, that's where we have the opportunity to be successful.
Oh, that's interesting. So one of the things you can do is actually witness all of the magic happen, because I wrote down the term innovation lab. By the way, I love that term, innovation lab. But for some people, just the whole idea of what it's like, you know, the process of baking bread, or from what I understand in your Maryland Heights location, you can actually see some of that. And that's something that draws people in. They like to witness these sort of things.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. I mean, I think the microbrewery certainly proved that any number of years ago. And, you know, unfortunately with the microbrewery, it's like a guy with, you know, waders on and a hose just cleaning the floor, because the tanks are doing most of the work.
Yeah.
But for us, it's, you know, it's a lot of folks. We'll have 25 or 30 folks on the floor at any one time, a mix of hand shaping and a fair bit of equipment and you know, a little bit of Willy Wonka kind of going on. And we really wanted to invite folks into the process. And most importantly, in addition to the, you know, cafe customers that enjoy seeing it, it was creating some transparency for our wholesale customers. So if I can get a restaurant operator or a hotel chef or a multi-unit operator to come to St. Louis and come visit the bakery, not only can we give them a tour, but we can give them lunch, and then they can see the openness and the transparency that we have and the pride that we take in what we do. And it really does change the game in terms of how they view us. So we're not hidden in, you know, some industrial park with no windows, just kind of making what we make. We really wanted to invite people into the process.
In the smells alone. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, I wanted to talk to you about involving the customers as part of that process, allowing them to see behind the scenes.
I think it's a great thing of transparency to do. It's a great marketing thing, so people can see the bread actually being made, and then they can turn right around and taste it. And you never know when that's going to inspire somebody to say, hey, I want to work here. I want to do this and earn my living, make a career out of this. And it's a great thing for parents or grandparents to take children or grandchildren to. It's a great educational, great experience. And I can tell you from personal experience, you get a great product out of the end of the pipeline there, out of those ovens.
Yeah.
If I can add to that, what's super interesting that we didn't anticipate was the reverse of that, was the value that our companions who were baking every day, seeing 400 people come in through lunch, the value they got to what they were doing. So we kind of thought that the public would love to see it, or our wholesale customers would love to see it. And what we found was is that if I'm going to make bread every day and I see people enjoying what I do and coming in to see what I do, the value that that brought to the craft and the craftspeople that were producing it on the other side of the glass. So it was really cool and really an interesting kind of eye-opening thing that we weren't anticipating. And I think in many respects, it's been more valuable that direction than the other direction.
Well, that's awesome.
And we had the Abel family that owns Chocolate, Chocolate, Chocolate.
Yes.
They had a tour experience that greatly exceeded their expectations. So this is two examples of be transparent, let your customers see what you're doing, and it works great for the store.
So the equipment that you guys use at Companion Baking, what type of equipment do you use?
I mean, I would say it's no different than Dan and Christina, because they're good friends of ours. I mean, no different than their situation. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have some things that are state-of-the-art that are easier to clean, easier to maintain, do a better job in consistency in terms of scale, weight, and size and shape. And then there's just the old-school sheeters to make pizza dough or to roll out a piece of dough that you're just not going to find that works. You know, it still works 40 or 50 years later.
Weighs mixing about 8 tons.
Right. I mean, the mixers, you know, we still have a handful of vertical Hobart mixers that are from the 1970s or something that are mixing cookie dough and cake batters and things, because really there's no way to improve on that technology.
What happens to you on a business standpoint if a machine goes down? Is that a big disruption?
It depends which machine, right? So if an oven goes down, we're in big trouble. If a piece of makeup equipment goes down, we have redundancy in production floor. We've also got a lot of hands in the shop if it really came down to it.
It's probably a lot easier to get a part today than it was, you know, 20 or 30 years ago.
Yeah, but when you're in the hours business, overnight still isn't fast enough, right?
Yeah. <So. laughs> We continue one more time on the Business of Family Business. It's presented by CMA Consulting. And if you're enjoying this story with Josh Allen from Companion Baking, you know that a lot of times you hear these family business stories and you realize it's much more complex than just showing up at the storefront and ordering a bagel, because 2/3 of family businesses do not make the generational transition. Let me tell you about CMA Consulting and the Business of Family Business Ownership Program. They are here to help unify, develop, and align family businesses. They discuss the insights, how to apply it to a business. They have the experts that provide specific topics that will help your family business. And part of this is creating that family business atmosphere, that community. You're reaching out, you're talking to other people in the same boat as you, and in a lot of cases, getting the guidance and getting CMA Consulting to offer in the helping hand. Reach out to Dan Bean. You can check him out online at cmaconsult.com or call 314-721-1860. Complimentary, no obligation meeting. It doesn't hurt for you to call and say, what can you do for my family business? And that question can go an awful long way. CMA Consulting, cmaconsult.com, or 314-721-1860. We're here one more time with Josh Allen from Companion Baking. Also, Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, who presents this great program, The Business of Family Business. You can listen back to some of our previous interviews with family businesses by going to KMOX.com in the podcast section. Look it up, The Business of Family Business. Companion Baking, I wanted to ask you about the restaurant side of things, because, you know, you bake the bread and you do have all of these other things. What made you want to open up the other side of it where you're actually serving food to people?
I have no idea. Probably most specifically that we had had some really good experiences at the farmer's market, at the Best of Missouri market, at a lot of chefs' charity dinners and things like that, where people really enjoyed the food and enjoyed us pairing bread with something. And certainly, obviously, we have a great example with St. Louis Bread Company and the growth of what retail bakery cafes could certainly become. And, and obviously, they've built a tremendous brand over the years. And our product is a little different, and we wanted to take a little bit different take and a little bit different spin on it. And I think, to Dan's point before, I think the diversification had value for us. And so we wanted to look at what that kind of could look like in terms of opening a restaurant. And I think we anticipated selling more breads and pastries and things, that it would be more bakery than cafe. And candidly, it's 95% sandwich shop. I mean, that's what we do. And we still enjoy it. We get a kick out of it. It's really fun to see those customers and showcase and highlight what we do every day. So I think that's sort of how we got here.
I think a lot of coffee shops, for example, they take a lot of pride in where they get the beans from. For you guys, is that flour?
I think so. I mean, if flour is, you know, we use all Kansas wheat. It's all milled locally in St. Louis. We do work with ADM. I mean, it's a clean, conventional flour that we're working with. And the sourcing of that's important, and the consistency of that's important. It's a little bit different in that fermentation and the flavor development from fermentation is not necessarily coming from the flour, but from the process with which we manipulate the flour. So a little bit different than coffee beans, probably. But it's still something that we take pride in and something that we really want to pay attention to and source correctly.
Do you think do they ever ask about that? I mean, is that something that as a consumer, they're conscious that you could be getting your ingredients from certain locations?
Oh, certainly. I mean, I think the transparency and farm to loaf, farm to fork, whatever it is that's happening in these days. I mean, we want to be able to answer that and understand it. The challenge with Missouri, most specifically, is it's not a region that can grow winter wheat. So we use winter wheat. It's a little bit stronger. It does a little bit better job for bread. And a lot of the wheat that's grown in Missouri is a little bit weaker, so it makes nicer pastry flour. So we really can't source wheat locally. We can have it milled locally, and you know, Kansas is sort of as close as we can come in terms of being able to get the scale of wheat that we need. We do buy some products out of Illinois, and we work with, you know, a small cooperative organic mill out of western Kansas. So, I mean, the sourcing of us is important. The relationship is important. Locality is a little less important, if only because it's not practical.
So how much butter or eggs would you go through, like, in general? How much are you ordering at a time?
Oh, at a time. I mean, we're going through a couple pallets of butter a week, I guess. And I knew the number before. I think it's like 26,000 eggs a week or something.
Oh, wow.
Like that. So,
that's a lot.
Yeah,
that's
a lot of eggs.
So with your kids, have they shown an interest in companion baking?
The older ones have not shown an interest outside of working in the cafes and being fans. So we don't have the next generation succession plan in place at this point right now.
Do they come up with any ideas on their own, things they want to experiment with?
No, we don't get a lot of that, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, they eat a lot of cookies, eat a fair bit of bagels and pretzels, but they're not spending too much energy on product development.
So if someone were to go to companion baking and they wanted to sit down and eat, what would you recommend they try for the first time?
I think any of the sandwiches. I mean, I think it's something that we've taken great pride in making sure that we pair a really interesting bread or really interesting ingredients with a really wonderful simple bread. So I think the sandwiches certainly would be our bread and butter, pun intended, because I think that's really what we're trying to showcase. That was the idea behind the cafes. And so we make wonderful salads, and my sister makes beautiful soups every day, and we certainly do things to complement all of that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, trying a sandwich, I think, would be the biggest recommendation.
Yeah, and what would be your biggest challenges looking forward to the future?
I think the biggest challenge, you know, part of it is kind of the carb awareness of the world and just dietary changes. So I think the best example that I can come up with how the business has changed for us is the local hotels. When we opened the business in the early 90s, if they were having a banquet, they had 100 people at a banquet, they would order 250 dinner rolls for that banquet. They would take the banquet goers times 2.5, and now they order the banquet goers times 0.5 because the bread's just not eaten. So it isn't that they don't want to serve nice bread. It isn't that they aren't interested. It's not that they've changed their economic model. It's just that they got tired of throwing product away that was coming back into the kitchen because folks are, they're just more carb aware and they're picking their carbs at various times differently. And so there's less, you know, spaghetti and garlic bread eaten for dinner like we grew up. And it's been a blessing and a curse. I mean, on one hand, that multiplier has changed our business quite a bit. But at the same time, if folks are going to have a sandwich, now they're going to trade up to something better. So if this is the time where I'm going to eat bread or carbs, then I might as well have a beautiful baguette or a nice loaf of ciabatta or a more interesting sandwich bread. So we get the benefits if we're producing a quality product when they choose to make the decision to do that and to indulge, if that's the word we're going to use, then hopefully they're indulging with something that we're doing. And you know, that's the point of difference that local chefs and local hotel operators and food service operators, they, you know, everything that they do, they want to be unique. They want to be different because there's enough choices out there now. There's enough commodity kind of stuff out there now that folks have to make a point of difference with their food and what they're serving. And that goes to the ingredients that they're sourcing, whether that's local produce or beautiful local breads or locally roasted coffee or beer that's made with some character and some integrity. So the whole micro vendor community benefits from that. And at the same time, it's a challenge. So like everything else, right, it's always a blessing and a curse at the same time.
Yeah, you're right. Every banquet I've ever been to growing up, mustacholi and dinner rolls, every single one.
But not so much anymore.
Yeah, that has changed a lot. So you have a pretty large group of people you work with. You said over 100 people at Companion Baking altogether.
Yes, sir.
Wow, that's wonderful. Are you always looking for help?
Yes.
Yeah. What kind of help?
Any kind of help.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I think baker, you know, in the most part, we're always hiring bakers. We have some attrition for any number of reasons, and it is hard work, and it is overnight hours sometimes or non-conventional hours, which is super attractive for some folks and not very attractive for other folks. I think that's the positions that we're trying to fill more than anything else on an ongoing basis. We have wonderful stable staffs at both cafes, and from a leadership perspective in the operation, we've got a great group of people that have been there for a while, kind of helping lead our team and coach our folks. But
Where do people find out about your openings?
They can look. We have a careers page on the website.
Oh, great.
At companionbaking.com, and they can apply online. And
Companionbaking.com, and you can even message you that way online. And people can just reach out, and you said apply there too?
Yeah, that's easy. We have an online application. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. What do you look for? Like if someone may be listening right now, you just look for someone that has an interest, hardworking. What kind of things are what are the traits you look for?
Yes and yes, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think we're trying to hire for attitude more than anything else. Mm-hmm. We feel like we can teach folks how to make bread. What we do isn't really all that complicated, but you know, as we like to say, just show up and be nice. Like, if you can do those two things, you know, not everybody can do those two things. So
at one or two in the morning sometimes, or overnight. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's some people are better prepared for that side of it, but you find those people, and you probably find a lot of people enjoy working when they get their hands on. It's something that they can do. It's not something that would be, to me, boring. I would enjoy doing something like that. I think a lot of people like working with their hands, doing things like this.
Yeah, I think it's true. I mean, the struggle or the challenge is if we do our job right, it should be boring. Like, it should be monotonous. Hmm. And, you know, where it gets interesting, I guess, is when we're doing something wrong and we got to panic or create some chaos for ourselves or something. But if we do our job right, we manage fermentation correctly and we have oven space available and we're kind of orchestrating what we're doing, then it is a nice routine kind of thing. And I happen to love the monotony of making bread. I mean, I'm not looking to create more work for myself by doing something wrong, but it takes a special person, and it takes a special person to show up on a regular basis on non-conventional hours, and it takes special people to be nice.
Yeah. Well, I think there's an art to it. I think that once you get it and you can see what you've created and you look at it and it looks delicious and beautiful, that is an art. Part of Companion Baking is you have to experience it for yourself. So you have a couple of locations. Again, one in Maryland Heights. Where's that one?
We have one on Schutz Road, 2331 Schutz Road, which is just north of Page on Schutz, and then one in Ladue on Clayton Road, just east of Warson.
If you were to roll the window down, how far away can you smell Companion Baking?
Oh, probably a good half mile on a good day.
Because we're getting to the weather where you can roll the windows down again. And if people, again, wanted to go to the website and learn more about what you do, it's companionbaking.com.
Yes.
Just like that. And you can look at the career sections, too, if anyone else is looking for that. Or maybe you can send that as a recommendation. But, you know, go to the location, sit down, eat, get a feel for it, get looks at it. That's the best way to do it. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, I wanted to get your impression on the story we just heard today.
Ryan, this is an excellent example of a family with a multi-generational legacy and tradition in food industry. It's a big decision for a family to decide to sell the family business, and that's what was decided a generation prior to Josh and Jody. They started, Josh started his own business, Jody joined it, and diversified and strengthened the business. It's a great story about how a family stays in and maintains the legacy, but in a slightly different way. They work together very well as siblings, and it looks like they have a very bright future. And I love the way Josh talks about his associates as companions. I thought that was very neat.
Josh Allen from Companion Baking, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story on the business, a family business.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.